Welcome back to another episode of My Neighbors Are Dead. I'm your host, Adam Peacock, and we're all familiar with the big names in horror. Freddy, Jason, the hairy man of Vargas Trail. But who we're not familiar with are the ones just outside the terror, the ones who didn't get to tell their tales. And helping me do that this week, you may know her as a comedian in the Los Angeles area or the host of the Why Mommy Drinks podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, please give it up for Betsy Stover. How are you, Betsy?
Hello. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Thank you so much for doing this. I greatly appreciate it. Betsy, you and I were talking a little bit before we started. You were both Midwest kids.
Mm-hmm. I'm from Minnesota.
I'm from Michigan. And are you familiar with the hairy man of Vargas Trail, Vargas Trail?
What is this?
I looked up famous myths and monsters of Minnesota, and number two came up as the hairy man of Vargas Trail.
I don't know what that is. Can I swear on this podcast?
Of course.
Okay, great. I don't know what that is.
Apparently, it's a hairy man that is responsible for some animal deaths.
That could be anyone in Minnesota.
I mean, it gets cold in Minnesota.
There's a lot of hunting.
Lot of hairy people. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember any like scary myths growing up.
Well, I should send you this thing because these seem like a lot of fun, but I don't even, does Vargas Trail mean anything to you?
Not at all.
Okay.
I'm so sorry.
No, it's okay. I did a bad job of doing research.
Apparently I did too, because I've never heard of that.
No, yeah, it's number two, so it's not number one, so that's okay.
I feel like, you know, in Minnesota, we're known for, you know, Bob Dylan, Little House on the Prairie, Winona Ryder, Judy Garland, myths and monsters, not so much.
Those are all great. Where do you fall on Jacob Dylan? Do you have any opinion on him whatsoever?
I think he's really pretty.
He's an attractive man.
He's a very attractive man. He had that one good song. That's all I really know. I don't really think about him at all.
We just watched a documentary on Netflix last night called Echo in the Canyon, which is about Laurel Canyon and this music scene in the 60s. And he hosted it. Like, he was the guy who did all the interviews, and they did like a record with it. It's just a lot of Jacob Dylan in that movie. And I was just curious where you fell on him.
What's the name of that? I'm going to write that down.
Echo in the Canyon.
Echo in the can. All right. I'm going to check it out.
Yeah.
The only thing I ever think about is I'm pretty sure his mom was that Playboy model that the song Sarah was written about.
That's cool.
It is cool, right?
Yeah. But that's, his dad's Bob Dylan, so he's doing all right. Known for myths and monsters, known for Bob Dylan, Judy Garland. But Betsy, where do you fall on horror movies? Do you like them? God. Do you hate them?
I love horror movies. I love horror movies. I hate being in a haunted house sort of thing. But for whatever reason, I love scary movies. I'm not a fan of like these newfangled torture porns. Sure. So any kind of Saw, Hostel, like that's not my jam. But I love, any old school, like Halloween type, Poltergeist. Mm-hmm. For whatever reason, I never actually got into Nightmare on Elm Street.
Elm Street, yeah.
I never got into those. I was like a little too young for those, I think.
Do you remember the first like spooky movie you saw? Horror movie you saw as a kid? Or like was it like at a group gathering? A lot of people seem like with... sleepovers, or yeah. I've discovered some people have been forced to watch them in college by their sick friends. So is there anything like that with you?
That's a great question. It's possible that Poltergeist was my first horror movie that I watched. I mean, unless you count like Ghostbusters, because when you're like six, I mean, Ghostbusters is scary.
Everybody loves Ghostbusters.
Yeah, but that's not really a horror movie at all. But yeah. I think Poltergeist might have actually been my first. Is that true?
In the email, when we were going back and forth emailing, you said it's your number three favorite movie of all time?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, it's I love that movie so much. It's a good movie.
It is a really good. How did you find it? Do you remember finding it the first time you saw it, or was it like the clamshell, not clamshell, but like the cover of the box of the VHS, or
was it the clam shack you used to hang out in?
Yeah, remember the clam shack?
No, I don't remember. It was honestly, I mean, I grew up in the 80s and 90s, and it was so part of just, cultural, what is that, cultural zeitgeist. Mm-hmm. So I don't ever remember a world without Poltergeist. What was your question?
Just the first time you'd seen it, or the first time you can remember seeing it, I guess, like what your impression of it was, what stood out to you.
I must have been very young because, like all of us growing up in the 80s and 90s, we all saw like movies at an inappropriately young age. I mean, I definitely remember also seeing like Child's Play and stuff in like elementary school, all those Chucky movies. It's funny. I think of myself as someone who loves horror movies, but then I'm like, well, I hate Gremlins and I'm not interested in Hellraiser. And, like, so I don't know. I guess I'm really picky. I have to say, I really do love any like Japanese, Korean horror movies. Man, they know how to do it.
Yeah, they're doing it right over there.
It's I love The Host.
We just did The Host. That movie.
No way.
Yeah, that movie's fantastic.
Now, is it just me and my husband, or is that movie like a huge allegory for the environment and the Bush presidency?
I think so.
Yeah. Okay. Just checking in.
Yeah. Not to dump on us too much, but it might be a little bit of an allegory about how maybe we don't do the best by other people.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Because they like polluted the water main, and then a horrible monster came out.
Yeah.
And took our children. That's pretty much the future of our world,
we're going
right?
That way right now. We're not too far off.
I'm sure you've talked about it on your show, but what are your favorite horror movies? Like what?
The one that I've said it like, and it's probably, I don't mean to keep being lame about it, but I love Halloween. I remember I remember this kid in my neighborhood named Bill Dietz had all of them. So he would dare us to come over and watch them, all the little neighborhood kids. So we'd go over there and we'd watch him, and it scared the hell out of me.
Yeah.
Like the song, like the opening song, and then the pumpkin in the opening credits scared the bejesus out of me. So it's always, that movie and that franchise has always held a special place for me.
It's a top-notch franchise, I think.
Mm-hmm. It's really good.
Good actors, great directing, good cinematography. It's good.
I love it so much that I was such a tool that when I moved to Chicago, my first Halloween in Chicago, I was like, I'm in Illinois for Halloween. Even though Haddonfield's not a real place.
Oh, I just remember Amityville. Any Amityville shit, I am on board. Newfangled, like oldfangled.
You like a haunting.
I love a haunting. You're right. Yeah. I love a haunting.
Not so much the blood and guts, but the haunting. The what's not there, what you can't see.
I mean, I like Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And I do like, Tarantino gore, but those aren't horror. But yeah, you're right. I like a haunting. That's most fun to me. And in fact, I love hauntings so much that when I can't sleep, sometimes my husband will read ghost stories to me, and it like lulls me to sleep.
What ghost stories does your husband read? God bless his heart.
God bless him. All right. We haven't done this in a long time because now we've got apps and stuff to help us sleep. But there was a website called like theshadowlands.net or something, like some horrible, like what is it, like GeoCities schlock from, and so people would send in their own ghost stories. And then there were just hundreds of pages of these submitted, just like reader submitted ghost stories. And they're some of them are awful and like written in all caps and are clearly made up. And then some, is the site still out there?
The first thing that came up, Betsy, was an ad for the new World of Warcraft.
That is not theshadowlands.net.
There's a new World of Warcraft. So
my husband would print off these pages and he would just read them, and they are amazing. Some of them are truly terrifying, and a lot of them, we found a lot of patterns. Like a lot of them were like, I was recently divorced and I just moved into a new rental, and then they would describe the floor plan of their new rental. Like, I would say two-thirds of the stories begin like that. I don't know why.
A lot of divorcees.
a lot of haunted divorced ladies living on their own.
It's like the penthouse letters of spooky stories.
You're right. I swear this is not made up.
I'm not making this up.
Totally true.
I want to do something on here, and we don't have to do it today, and I hate to put you on the spot. And if you don't want to do it, please tell me. I want to start doing something where we get a title from somebody and we start making up ghost stories. Would you please come back at some point and do one with me?
Yes, please.
I would love to do that. I would absolutely love to be the first one to do this with me.
We went camping this summer, and we were gonna tell ghost stories around the campfire because I have three little kids, and I totally flopped at it and tried to make like a scary story all about how you should clean your room. I'm the worst. I'm just a narc. And I really thought I was like doing it, and then I looked around and they were just like, no.
A ghost story about how a kid who got bad grades got torn apart by wolves.
Exactly. Yes.
So you're on the other side now. You have three kids.
Yes.
Have they found any movies at an inappropriate age, spooky movies at an inappropriate age that they have found or that you think they might find?
No. I mean, we're still, my oldest is 10. So it doesn't get too spooky over here. There's Spooky Buddies, which is about a bunch of puppies who go to a haunted house or something. But no. Although I have to say, my husband, my 8-year-old, he must have been like 6 at the time, wanted this like Time Life Books, like 60 most haunted scary places in the world magazine. Mm-hmm. And my husband bought it without looking through it.
Oh, God.
And I looked at it later and it was like, and in this house, a man like raped and dismembered a woman, you know, and I'm like, why did you buy that for him? So yeah, that's about as scary as it got. Oh, recently though, I did get that particular son, what is it, like Spooky Stories to Tell in the Dark?
Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark.
Yes. Yeah. So I bought him that. I don't know if he liked it or not, but if any one of my kids are going to be into scary shit with me, it'll be him.
I'm working on it. I think I'm probably older than you, but I think we're around the same age because I think I grew up in the 80s as well. Do you remember book orders? Do you remember Scholastic book orders?
Yes.
A Scary Story was always one of the first things I would get out of there. And then it was like something about like Jackie Robinson and then like Scary Stories.
They still do those Scholastic book orders. It's still going strong.
Do they really?
They have those same like book fairs or, you know, you give your teacher a check and then all the books come and it's like fucking Christmas. Yeah.
I love
They were
those.
Great. As a parent though, I'm like, oh, this is how you squeeze me like 6 times a year.
For sure. They're just trying to railroad. Scholastic's trying to railroad you, guilt you into buying books for
also
your
kids. Like, we have so many books just coming out of our ears every like direction, but I've noticed that Scholastic, what they've figured out is that you can if you just put like a toy on the book, they'll buy it. It's awful. Uh-huh. So you
sure
you're just like, you don't want this fucking cat book, you just want this weird necklace that came with it.
I was talking to a buddy in, you know, fancying ourselves as creative types and how bad we blew it because we didn't come up with a kid's show. We're just like, make a puppy a dentist and then you'll sell $1 billion
worth
of shit.
Make a puppy a dentist. That's a great idea, honestly.
You can make a puppy anything. Firefighter, doctor, nurse, lawyer, anything. The kids will buy it.
Yeah.
With this, we were talking about a particular scene in this and I watched it again and it made me laugh. And I don't know where you fall on the issue, and I'm not here to demean or support either, but if anybody is ever on the fence about catcalling, I think this scene in particular is a good one to do a little bit of research.
Are you?
Because Dana could not be any more of a child.
Yes.
In this
100%.
Scene, and she's being harassed by three grown
men. Yes.
It's just very. At first, like, I love that she flips him off. It's great. Or gives him the, you know, not the bird.
Whatever,
but
the
insinuation of the bird. But it's, yeah. It's just
I agree.
Weird.
Like, yeah. Can we unpack that for a moment? Yeah.
Of course,
here are hired men They are there mm-hmm. because the family or is either paying them or the husband's company that he works for is paying them. Either way, these are employees, people that are paid to be there, who are sexually harassing their teenage daughter at her home. Like, what's more scary than knowing there are a bunch of predators, just transient predators, hanging out in your house, opening up your kitchen window and shit? It's terrifying. And I love that they're like, oh, she's feisty.
That should be you should be working.
There is so much like background with Poltergeist that I could get into for hours and hours. Like, there's a whole thing about Dana's probably pregnant and I could talk about Poltergeist. Like, I love it so much. It's a perfect movie.
Again, not here to demean or approve, but you should at least check it out if you're having an issue deciding where you fall in catcalling.
Well,
at least in New York, it's another business that they're building, and the woman isn't related to the people building the
building. Wait, what are you talking about? You mean construction men on the street in New York?
Yeah, at least it's like another, there's a third party involved. It's not like the woman owns the property.
Yeah, and it's not like the men in catcalling on the streets of New York are like, I've seen where you sleep. Like, these it's terrifying. These are grown men who are preying on a teenage girl in her own home.
And her mother's but a stone's throw away from where she is.
But also, like, that's the 80s, right? They're just like, you can raise yourself. Hey. It's fine. If these men give you guff, just be feisty and hopefully they won't assault you in your own home. The worst.
It is. The 80s were really terrible. Betsy, I would love to unpack more about this, but unfortunately, we have to take a break because one of said construction workers is going to be joining us here, and we're going to get a kind of an inside scoop from them. But Betsy, thank you so much.
Thanks
for coming
by. Thanks for having
me
on.
Hey neighbors, Adam and Nate here to talk to you about Patreon. Now, this podcast is possible due to our Patreon patrons, and you can become one by going to patreon.com/mynaborsaredead.
Supporting the show on Patreon's easy. You pay what you can, and in return, you get My Neighbors Are Dead merch, behind-the-scenes info on how we make the show, a shout-out on future episodes, and more.
You may be wondering what we use this money for. Well, we use it for things like production costs, website hosting, traveling for the show, and our monthly meds. We are both severely medicated.
Sad but true. Now, podcasting isn't cheap, and we appreciate any help you can give. If you'd like to see how you can help out the show, go to patreon.com/mynaborsaredead.
Thanks for listening, and now back to the show. Thank you so much for coming by and doing this. I greatly appreciate
it. Oh, thanks for having me. I'm really happy to be here.
I am talking to all the way from beautiful California.
Bluto, that's my name. Hello.
Bluto, you are a construction worker. Is that
Yeah, that's correct. I like to work with my hands. Help build houses. Pretty lucrative. I'm a union man.
Talk to me a little bit about what got you into construction.
Well, I'll be honest. The unfettered access to talking to women as I'm on a work site, has always been a draw.
A lot of people associate unfettered access to women at the job as maybe for, you know, rock stars or doctors. Was that something that you knew getting into the business, or was that something that made itself evident years on the job?
It made it self-evident as I was on the job. Now, first, what drew me to it was just that I could show up, after a night of partying, and it wouldn't really matter.
Sure.
You know, you can do construction, hungover, coked out of your mind. So that was part of it. You know, I didn't have to think too much. I could just do. There's a real zen to it, you know?
It sounds like a real... it sounds like a real rock star
Thank
existence
you.
to use another term.
Yeah. Oh, boy. I mean, the stories I could tell you about the things that have happened to me on the job.
How many of those things would you say are legal versus how many things are illegal?
It really depends what year it is.
Okay. How about 78?
Oh, everything's legal. Well, except for the drug use. I guess now it's 2020. Maybe that would all be legal now. Ha! Switcheroozies.
Some states are now just decriminalizing all drugs. So, I mean, this might be your renaissance here for construction.
I mean, I'll be honest. I've built houses for free in exchange for sex. Let me just say that.
Is that a thing? I didn't realize that was such a sex lucrative market that you could just. So take me through this. Do you approach women on the street and say, "Hey, I'll build you a house if you have sex with me"?
Oh no, it's more like I'm building the house, and then they say, "Oh, I don't have any money, Bluto. Could I have sex with you in exchange for you building a house?" And I'm a real softie. Not in that way, but yeah.
I'm with you. I think I know exactly what you mean. I feel so, and forgive my ignorance, because it seems like it takes a lot of work to build a house.
It takes months.
So just.
Sometimes years.
So we're talking years on one project. Yes. I think there's a lot, like this lonely woman who's building a house reveals only, but towards the end of a project, that she doesn't have the funds to pay for it.
Yeah, I'll be honest, I have a lot of credit card debt. Uh-huh. I'm pretty much behind on my rent. I've been evicted a few times, but...
Now, let me ask you this. Why have you not offered to exchange sex to your creditors in order to just wipe out your credit card?
Oh, you don't think I haven't tried that?
Does it not work the same?
Wells Fargo does not care for my cock. They don't... I've asked. I'll be honest. Mm-hmm. I've asked. They're not very interested. They just want money. Gosh, I mean, I've offered, you name it, I've offered it to my
creditors. Well, I think, I mean, credit cards are, in my opinion, nothing else than just a legal form.
Exactly.
Of the
mafia. They're vampires.
So if you, I want to go back to the sex for houses thing that we were talking about. What do you do? What's your, I don't even know, a foreman. You go to your foreman, the house is built, you know, you get done with a job, you show up to your foreman, and the foreman says, "Hey, where's my money?" You say, "She didn't have any money, but she had sex with me." How was that received by your boss?
Well, first of all, there's high fives go all around. So that's usually how that goes down. Mm-hmm. And then we discuss it in graphic detail. I usually we talk about how young she was, and but then I do get fired. I do get fired off every time. I've never had sex in exchange for house building and then gone on to do another project with that particular company. No.
I don't know if that's completely fair.
Agreed.
The work should be judged for itself. If you build a good house, you should stay on the team.
Right. I lay a good foundation, and I'm a good lay.
I mean, you're laying foundation literally and figuratively. So
you are.
It's a win-win.
You're
for
clever.
You.
Thank you.
So. I imagine this type of behavior is not only accepted but encouraged throughout the 80s and possibly into the 90s. Does that ever become not the case where it's sort of frowned upon that you're exchanging sex for building homes?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I would say right around the aughts, that became not okay. I'll be honest, I don't go by the name Bluto anymore. I've had to... move around. I mean, part of that is companies will not rehire me. But also part of that is because, for very obvious reasons, I think, given my proclivities and the legalities of the year that we find ourselves in.
I don't know. And again, I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a sociologist. But I feel like, you know, somebody's rampant drug use and exchanging sex for goods really shouldn't be indicative of the type of person they are.
I'm sorry. Come again?
I don't know. I feel like, you know, Bluto, we've just met, but I feel like you're catching a lot of guff for your rampant drug use and not accepting money for your goods and services and exchanging that for sex.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. I feel seen. You know, I'll be honest, Adam. If I were to build a house and be paid in money, sure, some of that money would go to groceries, my creditors, my landlord, but a fair amount of it would go to paying for sex acts with a lady. And so in a way, I'm skipping the middleman. It's like wholesale sex work, if you think about it.
Well, Bluto, I'm not, you know, we are in 2020. We find ourselves in a much different time. And I really do want to talk about the Freeling incident, but I'm curious, where are you at in 2020 relationship-wise now? What's your, I guess, love life like at this in 2020 as opposed to the 80s?
I'll be honest. I haven't been doing so great with women.
Okay.
Lately, I had a hog mama. You know, I like to ride my bike, and I had a mama on my hog, but she passed, and I'm sorry. Does that upset you?
No, it doesn't upset me. I just thought of something funny from something else.
Sorry, I thought you were crying. I had a hog mama. She passed. Ever since then, I keep thinking of things that are just too dark to even talk about, on an interview. But
it's okay. I don't want to tell you how to live. I'm not here to judge anybody look. I will admit, you've done what I can only imagine are just some disgusting, deplorable things in your life.
All right.
In the name of construction.
Potato,
it seems like it could be negatively impacting your personal relationships. So have you given any thought or any thought, I guess, to maybe just, hey, you meet somebody nice, you meet a nice lady, you meet a new hog mama. And instead of, hey, I'm going to exchange X, Y, and Z for sex, maybe we go and we get a coffee and we talk to each other and we get to know each other. What's something that somebody might not know about Bluto that isn't related to sex and construction?
Let me think.
Because I'm sure there's some ladies listening to this right now who might think, hey, I want to be with a guy who's handy and, you know, I got a house that needs building and, you know, hey, there's Bluto. So what's something they might not know about you? You like fishing? Like books?
I love to fish.
Yeah.
I love to go, snowmobiling. I love to ice fish, although, you know, I'm originally from California, so I don't, you know, I'm not so good at it, but I do. I love to hunt. I love to sit up in a tree, hidden, and just watch the animals and hunt them.
In a blind, right?
I like to sit up in a blind. I like to watch animals. I like to sneak into a state park and hunt there. I'll be honest, it's a good place to hunt. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of people around.
Sure,
you can
do
what you like.
A little more illegal than the other ones, but yeah.
So.
See, this is good. This is good. I think, you know, you're with your new hog mama and you're telling her, hey, I like fishing. I like, you know, and maybe hog mama likes to do that as well. And then now you have something to build a foundation on that isn't exchanging sex for goods and services.
That's an interesting way to think about it. I mean, I guess there are women out there who like to hunt in national forests. You know, there's a whole system of caves. In the United States, sometimes connected to national forests. Did you know about this, Adam?
I did not.
You know, you could murder a series of people in those parks, and no one would ever know for decades and decades, especially if you were a transient person who constantly changed their name and worked for different companies building houses.
Bluto, you do not have to answer this unless you feel totally comfortable. But I'm going to go out on a limb here. Have you murdered somebody in one of those caves in the United States?
In the cave? No.
Have you taken a dead body that you may or may not have murdered into one of those caves?
Oh. I'm going to plead the fifth.
Good. That's good, because I don't want to have to deal with lawyers, and I don't want you to either. And again, I'm not a relationship expert, but maybe don't lead with that when you're with your new hog mama.
Ladies love a dangerous man. Ladies love a bad boy.
They do.
And
they do.
I like to have fun and party.
So what's the construction business like for you now? I mean, we've kind of got a better idea of what your love life is like in 2020. In 2020, what's your construction life like? Are you working? Have you kind of exhausted all the construction companies in California? Where are you
at? Yeah, so now what I've been doing is I've been building playhouses for children. I make them. Usually you could get a shed and kind of trick it out. But yeah, I do love to make a little, like a playhouse for a little girl. I think that's cute. I think that's nice. I like imagining a little girl having fun in the house that I built. Yeah, so I have to say it's somewhat lucrative. Rich people will pay a lot of money for you to put a playhouse in their yard.
Now that's nice. I like that. You've given a kid something to foster their creativity and their imagination in a playhouse. I think that's great. You're giving somebody a gift. See, that's a nice
right. Thing. And then also you get unfettered access to their backyard. And a lot of these rich people are real trusting. They do not lock their back doors at night or in the day.
I don't know for sure. I'm not an expert, but I think unfettered access to somebody's home or personal belongings maybe shouldn't be the thing that draws you to a job.
Well, I mean, I like knowing that those kids are liking my playhouse. So, I feel like you were seeing me and now you're judging me. No offense, man.
No. I'm sorry, Bluto. I'm not judging you at all. I'm really not. I'm not here to judge. I could be way off on this, but I feel like there's something good there. Like there's good in you. And it's just a matter of access, getting unfettered access to that good.
Well, thank you, man. That's real nice to hear. You know, I'm good at building things. I'm good at destroying things. I'm like God like that. God likes to build. God likes to destroy. Bluto also. Is that weird?
No, it's not. I grew up Catholic, so I get it. Religion is.
I grew up Pentecostal, so.
Is that still a part of your life?
Yep. Snake handling. Like to go to church every Sunday. Confess my sins. Just between me and the Lord. We don't go sit in a closet talk to a pedophile like some others. But yeah, I like to go to church, talk to Jesus, speak in tongues.
Well, I think, you know, every week you kind of get a fresh start. So every week is a gift in that way.
Exactly, Adam. Exactly. Jesus forgives all. It's like a clean slate every Monday morning. It's a clean slate for me to write on, to scratch my chalk into.
There you go. See, you can be a whole new person every Monday and maybe carry some of that over in the next week if you like it.
Yes, or not. Yes.
Or not. Maybe it's something so awful you just want to forget
Jesus
about it.
Jesus forgives no matter what.
I we're touching so much on your personal life, and thank you for being so open and honest.
Thank you for being interested. I'll be honest. No one ever asks me these kind of questions.
Of course, I admire your your go-get-em attitude. You were talking about how, when we were talking about the Freelings, you know, you were talking about the great coffee that Mrs. Freeling made, eating from their stove directly from the window.
Yeah.
In your construction life, I'm curious, what percentage of your jobs are taking place on buried Native American burial grounds?
Oh, boy. I mean, this is America. So I would say technically a vast majority of my construction jobs are technically on Native burial ground.
And do you ever experience anything like the Freelings have? Do you like any sort of poltergeists, for lack of a better term, ghosts, hauntings, anything like that?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I'd say, you know, England likes to pretend like they're the most haunted. But let's be honest, America is real haunted because we are just living and building on toxic land that's been stolen. And it's really... If you could take some of that, what is that spray that you could spray on blood and then you could see the blood? You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, I know what you're talking about. I can't think of the name of it because when you first said it, I thought you were talking about Agent Orange.
And no, that cops have sprayed it all over my trunk before. I forget what it's called, but you can put like a UV light over it and you can see if blood's been there. If you did that on America, the whole thing would light up like a Christmas tree. So yes, I would say a vast majority of the jobs that I have done, that's why I like building playhouses. There's no ghosts in them, but anywhere else you build a house in the States, I would say there's a pretty good chance there's going to be dead Native Americans underneath it.
I feel like there's just so much that we're just scratching the surface on with you, Bluto. You know, unfortunately, I hate to say it, we're kind of running out of time. I would love to have you back to talk a little bit about how you grew up, what your family like was like growing
up. I'll be honest, I don't remember most of it. It's like I woke up at age 11. I don't know if that's normal. Is it?
I don't know. I mean, you know, I don't remember a lot from when I was like, you know, one or two. So I think everybody's story is different.
I don't remember everything from 10 and down. It's just it's gone.
You know, I'm so curious, and I don't know if this is a good idea for me to ask, but we're recording this right around the holidays. What do you got planned for Christmas, New Year, or whatever you're celebrating this end of year?
Well, you know, there's a coronavirus hoax going around, the China virus. So,
I thought you might feel that way.
Well, you know, I'm a smart guy. You know, people aren't inviting me around like they might normally. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go around. I'm going to pick a nice neighborhood. Probably a place where I've made a lot of sheds, a lot of playhouses. And I'm going to go around and figure out who's going to have open windows on Christmas night. And I'm going to, like Santa Claus, I'm going to open up the windows in the middle of the night and go in, eat some brisket, eat some turkey. Open some presents, maybe leave some presents. Who knows? It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun for just good old Bluto on Christmas. That's my plan. Don't tell anybody.
I won't. I certainly won't be telling the police. Bluto, it sounds like you got a lot lined up. Best of luck to you for the holidays. I know it can be a lonely time, but I think you got a lot of good things planned. And I hope, you know, the new year brings you some sort of work. Or love, or both.
I think it will. Thank you, Adam. It's been so nice to talk to you. I haven't talked to someone like this in years. I'll be honest, in years.
Well, please, Bluto, come back, and we would love to hear. We would love to hear what you've been up to.
Excellent.
Thank you, Bluto.
That was a very enjoyable interrogation.
Thank you so much for listening to My Neighbors Are Dead. I've been your host, Adam Peacock. The show is produced by myself with Nate DeFort and edited by Nate DeFort. Original music was done by Jesse Case, along with Dane Halverson, and our original artwork was done by Mark Nishan. Thank you so much to Betsy Stover for coming by and playing Bluto. You can check out Betsy as the host of the Why Mommy Drinks podcast. And if you're looking to take an improv class and you want to know more about Betsy, please look up IlluminatiImprov.com. If you like the show and you want to support us, please like and subscribe. And if you'd like to donate to the show, you can find us on patreon.com at My Neighbors Are Dead. Follow us on Instagram at My Neighbors Are Dead and on Twitter at My Dead Neighbors. Again, thank you so much for listening to the show, and we'll see you next week.
Christmas, everyone. Alan Blake Batchelor here, the co-creator and head writer of 1 Million Musicals. Gasp! What's that beneath your tree? Why, it's a shiny new 1 Million Musicals Christmas special just for you. The South Pole Santa Claus.
For the South Pole Santa Claus is there for you when you are down and out.
Featuring a star-studded cast that includes Broadway's Ron Bomer, Kalen Fu, Cody Jameson Strand, Sandra Joseph, John Pinto Jr., Teddy Trice, and starring Corey Jones as the South Pole Santa Claus. Coming December 21st, subscribe to 1 Million Musicals on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Campfire.